Gyanam teham svijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshataha yajgyatvani habunyon yaj gyatabhyam abhishishyati. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. Thus being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of them both. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes, and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known, and nothing remains unknown. In the Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Kasmin Bhagavo Vigyate Saravamidam Vigyatam Bhavati. Grateful for the opportunity to be with you in this very beautiful environment. Especially grateful to the trustees and our dear friends from the National Sports Complex of India. The national sport of India actually is Sankirtan, chanting and dancing. This is the historical sport that is supported by all the scriptures. And tonight we have come to perform this sport of Harinam Sankirtan in this auspicious place. We are reading from Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, which is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Today, there is a great cry and need for higher education. Bhagavad Gita teaches us the most essential of all forms of education. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramita Mutamam Pratyakshavakamam Dharamam Shushukam Karatam Avyayam. Gita teaches us the king of all knowledge, most confidential and secret of all knowledge. It is the only knowledge that actually gives real happiness, because it gives direct perception of the true self through realization. It is described that real knowledge is to understand what is material nature, what is the active principle of material nature, the spirit soul, and what is its relationship with the supreme controller of all controllers, or Bhagavan, God. I would like to briefly speak on this subject this evening. Krishna tells us Bhumir apunalo vayu kamano buddhir evacha ahankara ityame vinapakatirashtita. This means that there are eight separated material elements which Krishna declares to be his apara prakriti, or his inferior energy. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. Srila Prabhupada explains how in material existence, the subtler the element, the more power it has. Earth is a very gross element. More devastating than earth, or subtler than earth, is fire. Subtler than fire is the, earth, then water, then fire, then air, then ether. Previously, people used to fight on a very gross platform with clubs and sticks. But then a higher understanding is the atomic bombs, which is releasing the energies of the very, very subtle elements that cannot even be seen or perceived by the senses in its naked state. But where is the power of the atomic bombs coming from? Under the control of man's mind. What a powerful force the man's mind is. Mind cannot be seen, cannot be smelled, cannot be tasted, cannot be touched. It is subtler than all perceptions of the gross elements. But we see the power of the mind, it could make heaven into hell and hell into heaven. Subtler and more powerful than the mind is the intelligence. It is only the intelligence that can possibly control the mind. And controlling all the elements of material nature is the ahankar, the subtlemost of all elements, the false ego. But Krishna declares in Gita that apareyami tashvanyam prakritim vinimeparam jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Besides this inferior external energy of mind, there is another nature. It is the living entity, the active principle, the spiritual force that is controlling material nature. The jiva, the spiritual soul, is declared by Krishna to be para prakriti, his superior energy. Srila Prabhupada would challenge us, why is the soul considered to be superior to gross and subtle matter? And he explained for two essential reasons. One is the soul is conscious, and gross matter is unconscious. And because the soul is conscious, the soul has the power to control gross and subtle matter. Example given. Nearby is the Chhatrapati Shivaji Airport here in Bombay. Big airplanes. But can the airplane move in and of itself? Although these big 747 jumbo jets are of such an enormous size, with jet engines and so many facilities, unless that little tiny particle called the pilot comes into it, it cannot move. It's simply dead, inactive matter, unless the active principle of a person enters into it. Similarly with the little automobiles. The automobile is just dead matter. But it is activated when it is controlled by a person. And on a subtler level, we are wearing clothes. Right now, the clothes are moving around so much. But the clothes are only moving because there's a person in the clothes. Otherwise, the clothes are simply dead matter. They cannot do anything. And this material body is considered by Bhagavad Gita, Vasamsi jinani yatha vihaya navani kranati naroparani tathasari rani vihaya jinani amyati samyati navani dehi. The body is a set of clothes. It is the soul, the jiva, the active dynamic principle which controls the body and makes it move. We are seeing through our eyes, tasting through our tongue, smelling through our nose, hearing through our ears, touching through our flesh, loving with our heart, thinking with our brains. But who is the doer? Srila Prabhupada would give this simple example. When that active principle of the paraprakriti leaves this aparaprakriti of the gross and subtle body, then the body's dead. The body cannot see, cannot move. It's simply a corpse. As long as that active principle of the jivatma is within the body becomes attractive. Some of us love our friends, our relatives. But when the soul leaves the body, there's no love for the body. We put it in fire or in the ground, or some people feed it to the birds. The Padma Purana explains there are 8,400,000 species of life. According to one's karmic condition, the spirit soul can enter into any one of these species of life. And as the soul evolves through the various species, it gains greater power of control. The highest form of life on this planet is the human life. Therefore, we see the human being in a particular type of body has more subtle powers. Gross powers are greater in the lower species. We cannot possibly compare it to a whale or an ape or a lion or a tiger or an elephant. But a human being has intelligence, a higher state of subtle intelligence by which it can discriminate. Therefore, the human being has a greater facility to control. And of this paraprakriti, every spirit soul within this material existence is very much attached to being the controller, the proprietor of the aparaprakriti, gross matter. Human existence, how we are building civilizations. Recently we have been to Vrindavan. Have all of you been to Vrindavan? In Vrindavan, so many monkeys, and they love to attack humans. Sometimes they steal your spectacles. And they're very, for animals, they're very intelligent. They have seen at Loy Bazaar how people are buying and selling things. So they will steal your spectacles, or they'll steal your shoes, and they'll climb a tree and they'll bargain with you. And if you give them banana, they will give it back. If you don't give them anything, they'll just go off into the horizon with whatever you have and try to sell it to someone else. So sometimes people are angry with the monkeys in Vrindavan. Why are they doing like this? Why are they attacking us? But what are the monkeys thinking? They're thinking, why have these human beings taken over our forest? Previously, Vrindavan, at the time of the six Goswamis, and actually even when I first came to Vrindavan in 1971, there wasn't so much monkey problem. Because there were so many trees and so many forests, the monkeys had plenty to eat. They were happy. But we cut down their trees and we built bazaars and we built temples and we built marketplaces and we built oil refineries. And now there's no place for them to find food in the jungle. So to survive, they have to steal from the humans. Hare Krishna. So this shows, just in a very basic example, how human beings are taking over the world through their conception of civilization. Because we have subtle powers of intelligence and discrimination, we have greater power to control. Now, according to the Bhagavad Gita, what is the true meaning of the art of living in this material world? That all of our actions, our words, and our thoughts liberate us from suffering rather than entangle us in the bondage of further suffering. Those who forget that there is a higher controller that we are subordinate to, they engage in fruitive activities which bind them in the laws of nature. Krishna tells us in Gita, Mamayavamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashashtanendriyani prakritistane karshati. The nature of the soul, it is part and parcel of me. Due to the They are fragmental parts, but due to forgetfulness, they are struggling so very hard in this material existence with the six senses, which include the mind. We are spiritual particles of Krishna. We are eternally subordinate to Krishna. The nature of the part is to serve the whole. Srila Prabhupada gives example. So many parts of this body. There is the hands, the mouth, the eyes, the ears. And one day they all met together. This is in the Puranas. And they decided that we're working so hard just to give food to the belly, and the belly doesn't do anything except enjoy. Why should we be working for this lazy belly? Better we go on strike. Nothing to the stomach. So they went on strike. And the hand was trying to enjoy, and the eyes were trying to enjoy, every sense was trying to enjoy. But ultimately, they became weaker and weaker until on the verge of death, they broke their strike and came and begged forgiveness from the belly and said, "We are your servants." Unless the parts serve the whole, the parts cannot find any real nourishment or satisfaction. Without watering the root of the tree, the whole tree will die. But if you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is nourished. So we are part of Krishna. He is the origin, the cause of all causes. And our true happiness is to be controlled by Krishna. We are controlled by Krishna, but to recognize that fact and reciprocate through devotional service. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nani nukonteya jagad viparivartate. Krishna tells us in Sri Bhagavad Gita that the whole material nature of both inferior and superior energies are all working under my direction. The cause of all suffering and ignorance is forgetfulness of that. Some people declare themselves to be God. Maybe they have some mystic powers. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us the story about one person who he was in contact with, who was a mystic yogi. And he declared that I am God, and you are God, and everyone is God. We have just forgotten that we are God. But the nature of God is he is Sarveshwareshwara. He is the controller of all controllers. So one day, this Mr. God, he had a terrible, excruciating toothache. And he was, Prabhupada made that noise, He was crying for help, wanted a dentist to come. So Prabhupada said to him, you are God, so why don't you control your toothache? We are all under control. Some time back, I was giving a lecture in a university in America, one of our preaching centers on the university campus. And one young man was declaring to be God. And he just wouldn't listen to any logic or argument or philosophy. But then he asked, where is the bathroom? I said, I'm not going to tell you. And I'm not going to give you the key either. Because you're the supreme controller. Control your bowels, O mighty Lord. And he was in so much desperation, he was actually jumping up and down saying, give me the key to the bathroom. And I said, well, first you admit that you're not God. He said, actually, I'm not God. But then as soon as he went to the bathroom, he came out and again declared himself to be God. So we are subordinate to the powers of nature. Knowledge of how to utilize this material nature, how to control material nature according to our constitutional position as the eternal servants of the Lord, is the path of perfection. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. Arjuna was a warrior. He was very expert at fighting with bow and arrow, at arranging military phalanxes. And Duryodhana was also expert at all these things. Duryodhana, he was trying to exploit material nature for his own egoistic, selfish purposes. And Arjuna was doing the same thing, but with humility, with devotion, in the spirit of service. Therefore, Duryodhana died a miserable death, and Arjuna attained the highest perfection of self-realization. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, sarvasya chaham hridishani vishto matasmatir jnanam apohanam cha vidaischa sarveraham evavedyo vidantakrit vedavedeva chaham. That he is seated in the heart of every living being, and he is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He is the author of the Vedas, the knower of Vedanta, and by all Vedas, he is to be known. This is a very important truth, because Krishna gives remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness according to our desire. Everything is actually based upon our desire. This is practical philosophy. If we want to exploit the resources of material nature, thinking I am the controller, I am the proprietor, and I am the enjoyer, then Krishna, by his mercy, will allow us to have this conviction. How is it possible? by covering the truth of our true existence with the cloud of illusion. Maya is considered to be like a cloud. Just like when the sun is shining, when a dark cloud covers it, you cannot see the sun. Srila Prabhupada explains that when he was in London, sometimes for weeks at a time, he never saw the sun. Always dark, dark clouds. Actually, the clouds don't cover the sun. The sun is independent of the clouds. It is due to our minute condition that the clouds cover the sun from our perception. In the same way, Krishna is the self-effulgent truth, eternally resplendent within the heart of every living being. But when our desire is to act independent of the will of God, to exploit rather than serve, to be God rather than serve God, then the Lord covers our perception with the cloud of Maya. But it's very interesting, because that cloud which causes ignorance is directly the energy of the Lord, created by the Lord. How does the sun form? Through the energy of the sun. The sun evaporates water from the sea and then creates cloud, and then the cloud covers the sun. So ultimately, Krishna is the supreme controller. He is the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. All ignorance is ultimately coming from God. All darkness is coming from God. But how can darkness come from the light? Krishna is all knowledge. He's all truth. How can ignorance come from him? Actually, when you turn away from the sun, you see a shadow. The shadow is the absence of the sun. However, you cannot have a shadow without the sun. The sun is the cause of the shadow. In the same way, when we turn to Krishna in a spirit of servitude, then we see his beautiful smiling face, which is the all-attractive object of everyone's love. But when we turn away from Krishna, we simply see the darkness of illusion. And in that darkness of illusion, we create entire empires and civilizations, individually and collectively, where we are trying to enjoy, thinking, I am this body. Thinking whatever is in relation to this body is mine. Not understanding what is real peace. Everyone is looking for happiness. And the essence of all happiness that everyone is longing for is love. To love is the fundamental, essential need of every living entity. Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Kodiya Yodai. The reason for this is because the very nature of the eternal soul, which is Satchit Ananda, beyond birth, beyond death, is to love God, to be attracted by the unlimited beauty of the Absolute Truth. The Brahma Jyoti, or Brahman realization, which is strived for by the impersonalist class of philosophers, is explained in Brahma Samhita to be but the bodily effulgence of the Satchidananda form of Sri Krishna. In that effulgence is liberation of all sufferings and miseries. But that is not the need of the soul. The soul is anandamayobhyashat. It is seeking pleasure in knowing Krishna, in understanding his eternal transcendental nature. We can experience unlimited eternal love. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashasmitatvataha. There is only one way to actually understand Krishna as he is, and that is through devotion. Krishna is the supreme controller. We cannot see God with our present material vision. Only when the Lord, by his own inconceivable will, reveals himself to us, can we know him as he is. We have no power to dissipate this dark, dense cloud of illusion that is covering our consciousness. But Krishna is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He can awaken ecstatic love and knowledge in the heart of anyone. But he declares, this is only done in reciprocation to the loving servant, the loving service of his devotee. Ye yathamam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham. As we approach Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. If we want to forget him, we cannot see him. If we want to know him, we want to love him, and we want to serve him, and we follow the transcendental process of bhakti that he has given, then by his own sweet will, he reveals himself to us. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes on this earth, he demonstrated in so many ways how when the Lord is pleased, he could awaken anyone's love at any time. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, the Yuga avatar for this age of Kali. When he was on his journey from Sri Jagannath Puri Dham to Sri Vrindavan Dham, he was traveling through Jharkhand forest. And in the ecstasy of love, in the mood of his own devotee, he was loudly singing the holy names and dancing in ecstasy. And he had one assistant named Balabhadra Bhattacharya. This Balabhadra Bhattacharya was always so concerned with serving and protecting the Lord. One time, there was a sleeping tiger right on the path. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was thinking, I hope the Lord does not wake this tiger, because this is one of the big, big Bengali man-eating type tigers. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing the heart of his devotee, he went right up to that tiger and kicked him with his foot. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, you wake up, O tiger, and you chant the holy names of Krishna. Because that tiger submitted to the will of the Lord within his heart just vanquished the cloud of illusion and awakened pure, unmotivated, ecstatic love. The tiger was leaping in the air with his arms raised, tears flowing from his eyes, all his golden and black hair standing on end, his limbs trembling as he was screaming out the holy names of Krishna. After some time, he was bathing in a very nice pond of water, and he was performing his Gayatri Mantram. At that time, some wild pack of elephants came to drink water from that lake. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was thinking, I hope he doesn't disturb these wild elephants. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the elephants, started crying out very loud, chant the holy names. And then he started taking water with his hand and splashing it right in the face of the elephants. And as soon as the water touched their face, tears of love began to pour from their eyes. Their hair started standing on end. They were rolling on the ground in ecstasy, loudly screaming out the holy names of Krishna. Another time he was walking, and some deers were following behind him on both sides. They couldn't give up seeing his beautiful golden form. Hundreds and hundreds of deers. And then tigers started following behind. Now, generally, deers and tigers are very, very vicious enemies, because tigers eat deers, and deers don't like to be eaten by tigers. So there's terrible animosity since time immemorial between the tigers and deers, even the ancestors. It goes back farther than India and Pakistan. So Mahaprabhu turned to them and ordered, chant the holy names. And the deer started jumping in the air and dancing and chanting, and the tigers were jumping in the air and dancing and chanting. Pure love awakened in their hearts. Such love. When you love Krishna, you love everyone, because you see every living being as part of Krishna. In this material world, there is so much conflict because people are seeing according to their materialistic designations, according to their race, according to their caste, according to their sex, according to their income, according to their nationality, according to their religion. And everyone is thinking, I am the center of existence, and whatever is mine, whatever I'm connected to, is the best. I was speaking with my dear godbrother Navayovanam Prabhu on this subject. Growing up in the United States of America, we were so culturally isolated. We were thinking America is the only civilized nation in the world. It's the best nation. It's the supreme, superb in every respect, and everyone else is just second, third, fourth, fifth class. Yes? But then I started traveling to other nations, and I found every nation thinks that way. And every religion thinks that way. Man, in America, the blacks have their religion, that they're the original man, and they're the empowered people of God, and the Christians think that this is the we're the way, the truth, and the light. And the Ku Klux Klan said, unless you're white, you're low class and deserve to die. Everyone is just controlled by their false egos in the name of human society. So you can imagine how the tiger and the deers are controlled by their false egos. But because they were enlightened with love of God within their hearts, they became so transcendentally blissful that the tigers began to embrace the deers and kiss them with their lips. Now, sannyasis don't talk about these subjects unless it's with tigers and deers. They were kissing each other and embracing each other, not sexually, but affectionately. They were spiritually enlightened. They loved each other. When you love Krishna, you love all. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichchati. This is the peace formula. Unless we learn to love God, there can be no real peace within our own hearts, nor can we actually extend real peace into the world. All other efforts to create peace are only superficial and can at best create some degree of ceasefire temporarily. But real peace is based on the realization of a blissful identity with relationship with others. Shanti, 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 peace is very nice. But millions of times higher than that is prema. Prema bhakti, love. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't want us simply to be peaceful. He wants us to be ecstatic in spiritual love, enraptured from the core of our heart with devotion. That is the true need of every living entity, because it is our nature, it is our constitutional position. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya explained, the prime benediction for all humanity is the congregational chanting of the holy names. Because this simple process can awaken pure unmotivated love within the heart of every living being. Love for Krishna. And natural love for every living being. The qualities of compassion, the qualities of of selfless service are the greatest need in this society today. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the greatest enemies into loving friends through the congregational chanting of the holy names. So if we simply please Krishna, then Krishna, by his own causeless mercy, can awaken the highest knowledge, the highest truths, and the highest ecstasies from within us. And that is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. We have explained how Krishna is the supreme controller of both the para-prakriti and apara-prakriti. His inconceivable independent will is he can manifest before us through any of his energies. Today is a very holy day for our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. It is the appearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami. The story of his life is very, very beautiful and very, very educational. There is one narration I would like to share with you to close our discussion this evening. Gopal Bhatt Goswami met Lord Chaitanya when he was just a very small boy, living in Srirangam, very holy place in South India, Tamil Nadu. There Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon this child, and the child became his devotee. The Lord told him that your parents, Venkata Bhatta and your mother, they are great Vaishnavas. You should serve them as long as they live. So just before they left this world, years later, they told Gopal Bhatta that that Lord Chaitanya is your life and soul. It is his desire that you go to Vrindavan and meet with Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. and there served the Lord. So he went to Vrindavan. At one time he went on a pilgrimage to the Gandaki River. And he acquired 12 Shalagram Shilas. And he worshipped them in Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami had the beautiful deity of Govindadev. And Sanatan Goswami had the beautiful deity of Madan Mohan. One day, a wealthy devotee came to Vrindavan and gave very beautiful ornaments to the various Goswamis for their worship. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, it happened to be Lord Narasimhadev's appearance day. Narasimha Chaturdasi. So he was giving these gifts. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking that I have these beautiful jewels and these crowns and so many nice facilities, but there's only so much I can offer to Shalagram Shila. So he was thinking in his heart, my dear Lord, on this day of Narasimha Chaturdasi, from a stone pillar, you manifested your beautiful, eternal form of Narasimhadev. Can you do this for me also? The next morning, he went to take his bath in Jamuna, and he came back, and his Damodar Shalagram Shila had manifested by his own sweet will the beautiful threefold bending form of Radharaman. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, they all heard about this and hurriedly came to that place, and they saw the beautiful form self-manifested. He was playing his flute and smiling very sweetly. And the Goswamis were thinking that his feet are just like Madan Mohan's feet, lotus feet. And his waist and his chest is just like Radha Gopinath. And his smiling face is just like Radha Govindadev. He is the consummate one deity that imbibes the quality of all the three principal deities of Vrindavan. And he has appeared in this beautiful kunja called Niduban, where Radha and Krishna perform their most enjoyable leelas. Therefore, we give him the name Sri Radha Raman. Krishna, from a simple Shalagram Shila, manifested beautiful threefold bending form playing his flute just to reciprocate with the love of his devotee. Similarly, the Arch of Vigraha in the temple, it is not idol worship. Krishna, even actually all the energies are spiritual because they are all coming from Krishna. But when we due to our covered consciousness, when we forget anything's relationship with Krishna, then it appears to be material. How Krishna can manifest himself in any way through his energies for his devotees? One day, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Sri Radharaman. And he began to think in the core of his heart, how sad. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my savior. He is my Ishtadev, my worshipable Lord. He's the one I owe my life and soul to. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. In that form, even my mother and father told me I should never forget him and I should worship his lotus feet. I have no qualification to worship the form of Sri Radharaman Krishna. So he felt very, very sad and he began to weep as he was worshiping Radharaman. But Sri Radharaman, knowing the heart of his devotee, right in front of his eyes, that beautiful threefold bending form playing his flute transformed into the golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With his arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names. He smiled very lovingly and sweetly upon Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami understood that there is no difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Radharaman. So the rest of his life he worshipped Sri Radharaman with a very peaceful, grateful, and loving heart. And to this day, so many people are going to see the beautiful form of Radharaman and remember the glorious devotion of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami and how the Lord reciprocated and revealed himself according to that bhakti. Great miracle. If you remember 2 years back, for those of you who were here, my mother and father were dancing on this very stage during the kirtan. My father, with his arms raised, was chanting loudly. My mother was laughing at him so much because later on she said he never knew how to dance properly. But she was clapping and dancing and chanting also. When I brought them to Vrindavan, we went to Radharaman temple. And we sat for almost 1 hour in front of Radharaman doing bhajans and kirtans together. I was thinking, this is miracle. This is a miracle of Srila Prabhupada. I have seen, when I lived in Himalayas, I have seen people making ashes with their hands. And I have seen people making gold with their hands. I've seen people form Shivalingams out of the air. I've seen people who have psychic powers who could read your mind, any thought you have. It's fearful. You don't like to be with someone who can read your mind. But actually, you're always with someone who can read your mind, Paramatma, Krishna. So we have to be very, very conscious of that reality. So I have seen all these yogis who could do so many things, sit with their back erect for 20 hours a day without moving, hardly breathing. But Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, my mother and father are in Vrindavan chanting the holy names in front of Radharamanji. That is a miracle. Millions and billions and trillions of times more inconceivable than any yogic powers I've seen. A great devotee is like touchstone. He is empowered by Krishna to turn material into spiritual, to transform the hearts of even the lowest fallen souls into humble and gentle devotees dedicating their lives in the service of the Lord. Transforming the inferior energy into facility for the superior energy of the Jivatma to utilize in the service of the Lord with the consciousness that I am his eternal servant. Through that process, love awakens in our heart. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given to all of us and to the world, indiscriminately, everywhere, profusely. Thus, on this very auspicious day, we offer our deepest gratitude unto his lotus feet. the power of the holy name, which is transcendental sound vibration, is the means by which everyone and anyone in any state of consciousness can be transformed. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. It is the only means in Kali Yuga to awaken love of God, Krishna Prema. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has declared, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories, all victory to the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names.